All right, it's the top of the hour, and that means it's time for Two on One, the internet's best show. Specifically, period. We deal with pop culture and theology, their intersections, and of course, what it means for you, me, God, and the church. If that's the case, and all of the stars are aligning, I am one of your co-hosts, the Reverend Arthur Stewart.
Oh, and I am your other co-host, the Reverend Stephanie Kendall. I have not spoken a lot this morning, apparently. my voice is a little out there, but that's okay. It's good to see you, friend.
It's good to see you. With voices and such, I get up at the crack of dawn. Like, I get up at 4:30, 4:45 every day.
I've just gone to bed.
it's my time. I know. Yeah. Like, weirdly, you're always up. And my three-legged black cat, Houdini, if I don't talk, he leaves me alone. But if I say, like, oh, man, or just, like, one word, he is on me like a leech. Best I can do.
I love it. Hey, Arthur, have you been noticing online lately that we are getting more and more followers and more people are talking about Two on One, and it's so lovely?
I got recognized by someone I had not met this past weekend, which was pretty cool. And hi, Stephen, if you're watching.
Hi, Stephen. That is so exciting. For those of you who are still listening out there or watching or however you are taking in Two on One, we are really grateful. Please remember to like and subscribe and share with your friends. And if there's a topic you want, or if you're a theologian out there that wants to come on, or I don't know, if you just happen to like an episode, tweet about us. We'll tweet right back. First of all, Arthur and I are both prolific tweeters. Mm-hmm. And just really excited that, like, people are liking the show because we like the show, right? Like, we do this for us because we like talking to each other and bringing on new guests and our friends and things like that. But
getting to know people, and like I was telling my husband about how much I really enjoy Lori Walkie, Sorry, Lori. And just our Dolly Parton episode, because we'll talk about today when it's today. And we get ideas, and we take ideas, and we share ideas. And I actually want to tell you, I am borrowing, building upon a friend of the show, Whitney Waller, did the Modern Seven Deadly Sins as a sermon series. And I'm doing that this October and November, and I'm pretty stoked about it.
Oh, I love that. What are you doing for Bulletin Art?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'll call Becca Krevens.
That's a good idea. What about sanctuary art, banners, pyramids? What are your liturgical textile plans, Arthur friend?
I don't have any liturgical textile plans yet.
What? That sounds preposterous. You're only a couple of months away, and then Advent is coming, my friends. Are your frontals and processional banners ready for the new liturgical year? As ready as you are, obviously.
I love that. It sounds almost, it's like it's 11 o'clock. Are your liturgical banners ready? No, we're gonna use the same banners we've always used, probably. I mean, we might spruce them up a little bit, but.
Well, Arthur, what if I told you and all of our Deezes out there listening that Jeff One Row Designs could work with you to create custom, that's my favorite word in all of this, custom liturgical textiles for the Modern Seven Deadly Sins series. And it has a wide variety of banners and pyramids, frontals, processionals, chasubles, copes, mitres, and stoles available in both blue and purple for the season of Advent.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised in the least, Biff. For 16 years, Jeff Wunrow and his team at Jeff Wunrow Designs have been making ordinary time extraordinary with their liturgical textiles. I find myself perusing their website, jeffwunrow.com, JeffWunrow.com, rather frequently.
Well, if you find a stole you love.
Well, just one stole, Spiff.
No matter how many stoles you fall in love with, and it's so easy to do, they truly are beautiful. Like, I'm, deuces out there, I'm not joking when, you should know me by now. I like a fancy thing. I like a thing that's well put together. And my Jeff Wunrow stole is truly lovely. But you can use your special promo. We have a special promo just for us deuces, which is 15% off your entire stole order by using the code 2ON1, all one word, at checkout. You got to go all the way to checkout. Don't do your Apple Pay yet. Just like at the very beginning, as people are wanting you to do. They're trying to trick you and not get you to use their codes. But go to the very end and type in 2ON1, TWOONONE, and you get 15% off your whole stole order.
Well, but Spiff, what if I want like a super fancy customized stole, like with a scripture on the inside and a disciple's chalice on the nape of the neck?
Oh, friend, I can speak from experience that it can be done to your specification, like on time, whatever you need. Jeff makes it work. It's perfect. My protest rainbow stole that has my chalice on the nape and my ordination text inside of it is perfect.
Well, I better get cracking on designing and customizing and planning and preparing. I'm going to wait.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't realize that that's where that sentence went.
It's okay.
And either you and our decent should check out everything at Jeff Wunrow, JeffWunrow.com, but do so after the show.
Well, we thank you, Jeff Wunrow Designs, for being our lead sponsor on 2-on-1 and for faithfully supporting us. And we support you. And this is great. Life is good. Hey,
I bought one at Virtual Gathering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in a workshop and they were talking about engagement around our communities. And like, especially if you're coming back in worship for the first time in a long time, we're still totally digital. We have not been into the sanctuary since March of 2020.
Wow.
And when I come back, friends, be prepared for some new stoles.
It's like that meme with like the person dressed normally and then the Elton John headpiece. And
yeah,
good. Let's talk about Brandi Carlile and let's bring in our guest today.
I'm so excited. You can't really see it. And I'm sorry that it's wrinkly, but I know I'm a 3. And so is our guest today. So.
All right. Alexis Carter Thomas, welcome to 2-on-1. Thank you for being with us today.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. I'm really grateful to be here and be a part of this podcast that I listen to.
All right.
Yay. <Wow. laughs> So excited, Alexis. So for our deuces out there, Alexis and I, you have heard me say that I'm in a demon cohort. Alexis is part of that cohort. She's a good friend of mine. And why I think I may have even, we let our guests pick their topic, and I may have forced this on Alexis a little bit, because over the summer, she and I kind of read the book together.
I'm sure it'll catch up.
Brandi Carlile concert. My internet's unstable.
It's okay. We're all a little unstable sometimes.
That's fine. But yeah, Alexis and I went and saw Brandi Carlile at her first show back from the pandemic. And this is where I got my high woman chair. Very excited. Alexis, excited to have you on. Tell our viewers a little bit about you. Who are you? What do you do? Where can they find you?
So I am Alexis Carter Thomas, Stephanie's, classmate. I live in South Carolina, small town South Carolina, where I teach in a religion program for undergrad students part-time. And I also do consulting around race and discipleship and run a program called The Vinery, which supports congregations in relationships with their university neighbors. And that's a little bit about me. And I drink coffee every day.
I actually, I brew a pot before we do 2-on-1 and I keep it right back here. So
I'm not the coffee drinker. And I mean, I do drink coffee in the morning, but as everyone knows, I'm a pamplemousse LaCroix person through and through all day long.
Well, okay. So I'm the neophyte to Brandi Carlile. Why Brandi Carlile for 2-on-1? What's pretend like I don't know anything. I've been listening frenetically, but let's pretend I'm a complete neophyte.
Stephanie, why'd you choose this topic for us? And then I'll jump in.
Arthur, you'll appreciate the way Alexis and my friendship has grown into these spaces. So I too was a bit of a neophyte for Brandi Carlile. I didn't realize that I had been listening to her for years because there are just some songs that pop into the radio station. So I listen to a lot of like Avett Brothers Radio or Felice Brothers Radio on, my multiple streaming apps where you can also download 2-on-1. But you know, and like the joke would come on, or, you know, some of her, The Eye, or some of her more like notable songs that people kind of know. And I just didn't know who it was until I, you know, I love Audible. I love a good autobiography read by the author, because I think it helps to hear the story in their own intonation and inflection and tell their own stories. I think it's a really powerful thing that happens when the author of a book can tell their own story. And so I just, Brandy, her book popped up, people were talking about it. So I was like, I'll give it a listen. I don't know much about her. And I was hooked. I listened to the entire thing in like a day and a half, and then did the entire thing again, because I was just so enamored with her storytelling and the way she used music to punctuate her life. And I thought, so much of this story she is telling is the story that I'm hearing in church a lot, and is the story that I'm hearing of people our age in faith communities. There's a story in that book in which she is in the baptismal, like she's getting baptized. She's in the baptismal waters, and her pastor, who knows she is like an open lesbian, cannot baptize her and asks her to leave. And as a pastor, and as someone who has cried at every single baptism I've ever even witnessed, I was so moved by just that story that her faith didn't end there, that she is still in relationship with God and, you know, beloved community just in new ways. And I think that it's a testament to one's willingness to put in the work and for grace and the reciprocity of grace that I was so moved by. So then I immediately call Alexis and I'm like, you've got to listen to this. And I think I told everybody then. And so that there's a lot to chew on with her life and her music and what's happening. So that for me is why I was like, hey, Alexis, come on 2-1-1 and let's talk Brandy.
And then I listened because Stephanie was excited about it and gushing about it. So I was like, I knew at this time, like generally who Brandy Carlile was music, but I would say like very unfamiliar with her story and the lyrics, but generally knew like parts about her, aspects about her. And so I was hesitant to listen to another book because my summer book list usually is already full before summer. So adding another book in the rotation, I was a little hesitant, but she drew me in. As Stephanie named her storytelling, I think if I wanted to highlight something that she, out of many things she does well, and her musicality and just her gift for songwriting, but her storytelling is dynamic. And so, and as Stephanie mentioned, her telling the story, her reading it and punctuating the story with music, it is phenomenal. So I started listening, though I was hesitant. And I sometimes listen to audiobooks while I run. So I was in the process of training for a race. So in the evening, one evening, I said, I'm going to give it a shot. Let's just listen. And soon drawn in by her storytelling and the way that she narrates with vulnerability, and it isn't pretentious. It's really quite beautiful. The way she tells the story of her life and those who she loves and how they, what it means to be in relationship with them, and to tell the story of her faith and identity is it's just done so beautifully that it drew me in. And I also listened in a very short time.
Arthur, what's your relationship to Brandy?
You brought up that we're doing this, and I have been devouring her music. I'm excited to do this. It has been balm for my soul. It's like when I cook with my kid and she cuts her hands on everything. It's the weirdest thing in the world, but we really only know she's cut her hands, but when she squeezes lime juice and suddenly she's like, ah, it was the opposite of that. It was soothing lime juice. I don't know. Forgive me. I will just sit here and drink coffee for a moment. I like her music.
Great.
Actually, I wanted to start with a question if I could, because I like this. She doesn't fit into a genre. Or she's country music, but she's not just country music. Or if she is country music, she's breaking country music, and maybe it needs to be broken. With the church today, there seems to be modes and models in which it works, or rather it has worked. What would it take for the church to be Brandi Carlile? What does it take for the church to be expanded to where it breaks? How do we help people who are so set in a rut of this is what country is or this is what church is to expand? Or at least what are our starting points?
Alexis, you want to go?
Sure. That's a wonderful question, Arthur, and I actually want to think more about that. But what comes to mind initially is authenticity, which I think is part of why her storytelling is so brilliant, is that she just like shows up in herself. And even in her voice, there's this lack of pretension. There's this sense of humility, and that she has a gift for narrating a story that is authentic and vulnerable that parallels the gospel story. And I think what could church leaders do better is like tell stories that are authentic. And in that, people will glimpse a witness that's like interwoven and to see the life of Christ in that. And she does that like brilliantly. And then there's two aspects that I was most drawn to through her story that I didn't pick up on. I picked up pieces and was drawn to them and wasn't able to name them until I listened again. And it's her belief in providence, which I don't know that she would name it that way, but her life is just like beautifully like providential, and her belief in hustle. And so she is like able to want and to will things like as in her vocation and how she takes it seriously, in the ways that she wants to connect with different people and artists and voices, and the way she values and elevates people, that she has this belief in like she is hustling early at the beginning of her career before nobody knows who Brandi Carlile is except a small group of people in her town and community in Washington State. She's working, trying to pay. She talks about a horse she gets named Sovereign, and she said Sovereign teaches her how to hustle. So she can't live in like certain places because she has a horse. And so she takes up jobs, playing in bars and areas at night, like nightlife kind of places. And she's getting free food and getting paid. But she learns to like, I want this horse. Means I can't live in certain places. I'm going to have to pay more to care for a horse. Those who have pets realize like pets require some care. A horse requires more often than a dog or a cat financially. And so she has this hustle of like, I'm not giving up the horse, so I have to figure out how to hustle. I want to be in rooms with great people, so I got to figure out how to hustle. So I think that this hustle and this sense of providence of like, where she really believes in like connecting with people and putting herself out there, but not in a way going back to there's not this pretentiousness, there's this authenticity. And so when I think about the church and when I think about church leaders of what it means to be authentic in order to allow, to not try to co-opt other stories or styles, right? What it means to be innovative is to tell your story and to realize that the people who will be drawn by that story, not this sense of like, curating a story that's appealing, following a certain sermon style that isn't authentic to who you are, or a program, or, figuring out what works for who you're called to be and the life of your church and community, and to actually, to trust God and to hustle in the hustle for,
So it's fascinating to me. And the trust God and hustle, that's a really great way to put it, but they almost seem to be at odds with one another, don't they? Like it's the old joke about providence of, I sent a boat, I sent a plane, I sent, all this stuff. And then the hustle is you got to work to make sure that, you end up on top because you've put in the hours and you've put in the work. And there's this stretchiness to it. There's an elasticity. And I hadn't heard it phrased that way. And I loved that, Alexis. And I was going to blow up if I didn't say that. But I'm looking at you, Spiff.
No, I totally agree. And I really like that, trust God and hustle. It's a t-shirt out there somewhere.
You should get us out.
It's the 2-on-1 motto now. Trust God and hustle. And it's true. And so it's part of the story. Like what can we learn from Brandi Carlile is an interesting question, because in the book you learn who is Brandi Carlile is a multifaceted question, right? Because Brandi Carlile, the band, is not just Brandi Carlile, the person. Brandi Carlile, the band, is also Tim and Phil Hanselroth. And so if Brandi Carlile, the person, were to leave Brandi Carlile, the band, Tim and Phil could still tour as Brandi Carlile. And so, which I think is really important when we're talking about the all-in-ness that is required.
Our names. I'm sorry, there was a little freezing. Could you pick up from the all-in that is required? Friends, we're always experiencing technical difficulties, but I take that as Satan trying to stop really good gospel entering the world. I don't have that kind of diabology, but I do for this show.
Trust God and hustle.
Trust God and hustle. There you are. Hi there. Could you?
There I am.
Could you start off from All In, please? And I'm
yes.
Sorry, you missed that point, or that we.
I might turn off my camera just because maybe you can hear me better and it'll focus. Hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna go with hearing me today. The all-in-ness is like part of that ego, letting go of the ego that is required of trusting God, right? That like giving up your name is such a profound thing to say for the good of the cause, for the good of the church, right? Like, what does it mean for us to give up so much of the restrictions about identity that they become expansive? What if we stop caring about the name of the church and the building of the church and the pews and the hymn books and we cared about what God is calling us to do. We cared about that authentic and, you know, life that we are called to do and to be. Because when we're looking at it from the life of Brandi Carlile, that's what she's done. She is a singer-songwriter who has given up her name for the sake of music, for the sake of this thing that she has been called to do, so much so that someone else owns her name, but she's still her, right? And I think that that's what we learn, is that even if you have to give up these superficial things, these kind of boundaries, you're still you, and you can still do the thing you're called to do if you do it authentically and from the gifts that you particularly have been given.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, Stephanie, would you trust other people to run a corporation called Stephanie Kendall?
I think if I built the relationship, I think that's also what she does. And what this, her book is about, is how she builds relationships and how that's healthy church. I think that, you know, yes, I would absolutely let someone run something called with my name on it if the relationship was there and the trust was there, that the work and the vision that we cast together faithful and, you know, and moving, just meaning like it does something. For me, I hope that that's how we are using Christ's name well when we say that we are Christians, that we take on that name in a way that is faithful to the work that was set out from the person whose name it is.
Yes. So that's where I was going. I didn't, in my long story of trying to give background to Arthur's earlier question, is that the other thing that she does beautifully, trust God and hustle, is that she demonstrates that well in her relationships, that she is highly relational, from telling you stories about her relationship with her grandmothers to like romantic relationships, her family, her parents, sibling. She has a way of narrating these stories. And then the relationship she hopes to have, like with other artists that she admires, like Elton John and Tanya Tucker. And so what she does is she hustles to build the relationships. Like she's providential in believing, like, I want to be the, oh, there's Dave Matthew. I want these relationships. I want to know these artists. I want to know my fans, certain fans. So she has a way of thinking about the people who are receiving and thinking about the people she's collaborating with. And she's so intentional, but she's like providential in believing that these relationships, like that the universe, the divine, is going to bring these relationships together. But she's not just like chilling on her porch in Washington saying, like, I hope they know who Brandi Carlile is. I hope they build. But she is doing the work to build and nurture, cultivate relationships so that people know her name, but that they also like that that there is a thoughtful, I just want to say that there's intentionality and thoughtfulness in building these, that they might know her name, but that her name also is like building something that carries more weight. Does that make sense, Arthur?
Well, yeah. Is her work an act of prayer? What I'm hearing is it reminds me a lot of Pope Francis's thing. It's if you want pray for people to get fed and then go feed them. That's how prayer works. Mm. And I paraphrase it, but I do love that's how prayer works. It's good. Absolutely. And it's not just including God on your plans. It's I trust that God is at work and knowing this trajectory, I'm going to go and do as opposed to stop and wait. As we talk providence and hustle, this is a weird question and it's a parallel one, but I think it works in there. If it's not, let's just ignore it. So for Free Record Day in 2020, Brandi Carlile, I didn't know it was she when I listened to it. She got together with the living members of Soundgarden and they put out a single, which included a cover of Black Hole Sun, which I hated that song when I was a teenager. Paul Anka covered it of all people and I loved it. But like this version with Brandi Carlile is beautiful. And also now having really enjoyed and gotten into Chris Cornell and missing him because he is deceased. So with music, and really it might be with the story when she put out an album entirely of covers by other people doing her work, how do we in 2021 tell the same stories that can never be the story? They can only be part of the story. I feel like I'm asking the same question I've already asked. Let me think about this one. I'm sorry. Spiff, I can't see you. I know you have something to say.
I'm here. Can y'all hear me still?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Great. So there's something to the way in which faith has worked in her life that I've really appreciated, as we kind of named earlier. Mm. And I'm just curious if you guys have these experiences, and I'm going to go back to the book. And so, you know, our deuces know this is a spoiler show. So there's that. And in this case, it's a spoiler for the book. But she is it's towards the end of the book and she's at like Radio City or something. She's doing something, some big concert for her. And Dolly Parton's there and she's nervous and Brandy's nervous and Brandy's doing, or maybe it was when she was doing the Blue album for Joni. She was doing something big because Brandy has been invited into, because of Brandy's authenticity, Brandy has been invited to collaborate in ways that that the artist in whom she has been invited to collaborate with have said, you're the only one I will do this with. And I think that there is something really special there that when you are authentic, when you are yourself, people will notice that divine spark and want to join in. But, you know, she gets nervous. And for a performer, we think of them as kind of like, well, they're meant for the stage. And Brandy absolutely is meant for the stage. But she turns to Dolly and says something like, I'm nervous. And Dolly's immediate thing is, well, then let's pray. Mm-hmm. And the two of them pray. And she doesn't share what was in the prayer other than it grounded her in a way that helped her perform one of her best shows. And I'm wondering if we do that as faith leaders enough. We are, at least in progressive faith spaces, we are kind of, I have noticed, let me say, in my experience, that we don't tend to say, okay, then let's stop down and pray. It's like, we'll open a meeting with prayer. We don't call on the tools of our faith in authentic ways like that.
It feels a little Duck Dynasty sometimes.
It does. It's because we're pushing against evangelical culture and people that have weaponized prayer and who have used it to strong arm people into other things, rather than just saying, also, here's a simple act of grounding yourself with God, go and do. And I wonder why we have, why, or if that rings true in y'all's experience, and what we as faith leaders might be able to do to model be better stewards of our faith in that way. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stewardship is an interesting word on that. The intentional use as opposed to the unintentional use or the intentional disuse.
Yeah.
For me,
listen to the audio version of this podcast. This was good. We're all thinking. At least Smith maybe. Smith has turned off her camera, which has no effect on you audio listeners.
No, when I listen to stories of faith in this way, and I will admit that I don't listen to a lot of, you know, stories of like quote unquote, like religious faith-based stories in that way. I just don't. And this book is not meant to be that, right? This is not a Christian book. This is an autobiography of someone who happens to identify as Christian. And yet it has informed my faith and inspired me to be better in my faith as a faith leader by utilizing tools that I forget sometimes that I have. I think of my life as a walking prayer. I like, you know, God and I are in conversation all the time. And yet sometimes I need to sit down, like literally stop all that I am doing and just say thanks or say help, you know, that Anne Lamott help, thanks, wow, like the simple prayers that, you know, those are the three that we need to and should use often as community building and grounding tools. And I just thought that that point of the book was so beautiful that we don't do it often.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah, I was just sitting with some of the things you name and thinking about her own faith journey. Even how that, going back to what Arthur named about stewardship, how that changes of like her supporting certain causes of supporting people, inclusivity and spaces and welcoming people within her inner circle, but also people that she collaborates with who may not have a space at the table, that she's always like trying to figure out how to make the table larger in that kind of metaphor. But like, even when she names in her book that Tanya Tucker, that the stigma and criticism against her and judgment that people allow men to come back all the time, from their addictions or to like hold space for their stories and authenticity. Right. And in ways that women don't always have the luxury or privilege of doing in our society. And so I think just an example of how Brandy tells her story with authenticity that opens up doors to be able to name faith in a gospel story. And I think people listen differently. Stephanie, as you were talking about, you don't read a lot of stories. As someone who does read a lot of stories of faith and memoirs of faith, and this one is so different because it's not like, this is my faith journey. You know, this is not a spiritual autobiography, but it is. it's not, she doesn't need to name that. She doesn't need to be like, this is how, it's not like broken horses needs to be, this is the broken body of Christ. You know, it's just like, horses are important. This is my story. This is baptism. This is later when I was baptized. This is something I think about. I was baptized on Easter and now I, you know, think about this. It has, it has this faith. It's faith is the river that runs through the hole. Mm-hmm. And.
Well, it's kind of what Smith said of, it's not a Christian book. It's a book by a Christian. Mm-hmm. Because we've commodified everything, including Christian as a brand name. Yeah. Pardon my interjection. This is my story and I'm a person of faith, as opposed to this is my faith and I'm a person with a story.
Yeah. Maybe that's what we learn as a church, Arthur, going back to your question of what it means to tell better stories and that are authentic and that points people instead of just starting with like preaching the same story, doing the same programs of like, this is Jesus in a box. This is, you know, like all of these things. Maybe it's also saying like, people need to hear our stories. Like I wasn't drawn to like, I didn't know Brandy's faith narrative as she tells it in the book. But I think it gave me a deeper appreciation of hearing her stories and her own wrestlings. And maybe that is the answer. One of the answers, Arthur, to your question of that me as a leader, as a preacher of what does it mean to do a better job mining my own story and listening to my own story and the holy within me, that in the way I tell that, to trust that the people will be drawn to that story. And that in that, I won't have to be as explicit about this is what I believe. In Romans 8, it says this, but that as I do that, people will hear that story differently through hearing mine, that it will echo this deeper story.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't do that well in the church, right? Or in the pulpit or.
Well, and it's, if we can pick up a, if we can pick up a scripture and thrust it at somebody, we don't actually have to live it. We were talking about baptism earlier, and I know Spiff and I talked about Brandy in the baptistry and being turned away. We've specifically added to our baptismal liturgy while the officiant is standing in the water. Here is water. What prevents this person from being baptized? And I lost my nerve. The congregation was going to respond, not a damned thing, but it's now just not a thing, and it's not as fun, but.
It was not as fun, but I mean,
scandalize my elderly.
Probably for the best, but you know,
that's another 2-on-1 shirt. Scandalize the elderly. This is good.
I mean, it goes right on up there with all the other weird quotes that we've had. What does it also mean? I think, well, this goes back to Arthur's very first question, right? So she's country, but actually she identifies as Americana. So what does it, when we're talking about breaking open the church, we have the number one, like that was the record she wanted to win, right? It was the Grammy for Americana Album of the Year. That was, she didn't want to win Album of the Year. Like what her dreams weren't lofty in that way. And like her dream was to win the category that she identified in. And I think that that was really important because when we think Americana, we don't think, you know, 40-year-old lesbians, like, you know, or at that time, like mid-30s lesbians, like out and proud lesbians, you know, who are building family and singing about, you know, their horses and their, you know, and being proud American, that Americana with the word America in it. As an identifier of who gets to be in that space. And here she comes being herself saying, here I am, this is my space, and I'm going to do it well, and you're going to appreciate it. And I think that there's something that is in that call to be that our parishioners, our people, I hope here to come into our church and demand space and say, this is my space. This is mine. I may not see Jesus the way you do. I may not see God the way you do, but this is my space and I belong here. And push for that until everyone agrees. Or maybe not even agrees, but you feel heard and valued, right? Because that's also the part is like, it's that hustle. It's the trust God and, you know, and hustle because she did that. And she had enough people telling her, this isn't yours. This is not your space. It was not an easy road. It was not just, here you go. Of course you can have this. You know, she grew up in extreme poverty. Like she had lots of things against her. And yet she persevered for lots of different reasons. And I'm not saying that we all have to do that type of hustle, but I think saying that the church needs people in it to push with that type of hustle.
Yes, well said. Yeah, I think it also, that goes back to your initial thoughts about naming and sharing names, or you know, always remember there's nothing worth sharing like the love that, what, I'm gonna mess it up, lets us share our name. And so literally in naming, right, what you named about Brandy Carlisle, that like one of the richest things is to share name. But what does it mean to like fight for a category or a naming, the naming that you want?
And that song is an Avett Brothers cover. And so for those of you that have not seen the 2-on-1 with Dan Livers in our Avett episode, that head on back, and because that is also Dan Livers' favorite song from the Avett Brothers. This is my favorite Avett Brothers song. And so I love, like, what does it mean that we get to share our gifts in that way, right? That like, it is just as authentic for us to talk about Murder in the City and Brandy Carlisle as it is for us to talk about it with the Avett Brothers, right? But so often in church, we're like, well, what is Riverside doing in Kansas? What is Alexis doing in South Carolina? What am I doing in New York? That is both paralleled and similar and authentic, right? Like, how do we say, I want whatever Arthur is doing well I'm going to take that and I'm going to do it well here. And then I'm going to give it to Alexis to do well there, and to not say, but please make sure that everyone along the way has gotten, not that, I mean, yes, we need to give appropriate credit, but what does it mean to hold appropriate credit and to build something bigger than the self?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Ending. You're talking about acknowledging and affirming what has come before and having permission and also initiative in order to build upon it. But without consent, it's appropriation. And with consent, it's collaboration.
Yes. Providence and hustle.
Providence and hustle.
So connection there. So she talks about, she does this kind of tribute and acknowledgement honoring of her grandmothers who've really impacted her. Grandma Carol, who has disability yet travels and keeps showing up at her concerts. Really remarkable in how she affirms who she is and her identity. And then her grandma Dolores, who has, she has this other appreciation. So after the death of her grandmother and she's grieving, she gets a call from the Avett brothers to like do a show. And she talks, she says something to the extent of like, that is like, it's this providential, she doesn't use that language, but that in the midst of her grief, the Avett brothers call like that same day or same week or something to do a show. And that she says that mysticism is what she meets in the midst of grief. And that really stuck with me, that like going back to this river that runs through it of faith and the way she narrates her stories without the sense of naming of like, and the Holy Spirit and Christ met me. And but that mysticism meets in the midst of grief. And that's something that is throughout her story, that in the midst of her grief, even as a child of feeling rejected, whether around her baptism, her identity, and trying to wrestle with her own ideas and music and wanting to be on stages and seen, that in the midst of her grief, she is becomes a mystic because God breaks through. In the midst of her grief, where in these organized spaces, in these like kind of central spaces where she may not feel, whether it's school with her own dyslexia and like struggles of learning and not feeling like she has a place at school or has a place in like with certain friendships and not feeling seen. But in her grief, there is something holy, and that even though she's narrating it later in her adult life, it's this beautiful thread that runs through of the Holy meeting her in grief, that she comes to know that faith is awakened in the midst of grief. And I think there's something there too for the church.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so good. Yes. Okay. I have a question. It just came to me as you were talking about, you brought up the Avetts. So on Brandy's, what I'm gonna mess up the album names, but it doesn't matter. She has Scott Avett paint a portrait of her, and because Scott Avett is a painter, and he says he'll do it, but she's got to sit for it. She's got to come and be present for it, and he doesn't show it to her. And it is the cover of her album for that, whatever that album is called. What? And I liked that he was like, it's got to be in person. On the portrait of your faith, not necessarily your life, but of your faith, what do you hope is captured?
Yeah, I want to think about that because Stephanie, I love that. I like that her willingness to be authentic, because she, you know, he's like, I'm not doing one of your dressed up shows, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't do that. And she talks about like the sense of like courage that it takes to let yourself be painted in a way that you might not see the picture you like, but that she even says in her book, I want to love that person. And I think about that, like what, oh yeah.
Like, I want to love the person that you see that I am, because we don't always love the people that we are. I've thought a lot about that. I will just name that. And she talks about how she was tired and she wasn't in her best, you know, and like, and Scott's an incredible painter and captures her in a way that she says she felt vulnerable and seen. And like, that is her. Right. And she, and that painting hangs in her home now.
Doesn't that speak too to the vulnerability has to happen in community? I can be as vulnerable as I want with myself, but ultimately I'm preaching on Galatians 5 this week, and it's not my final answer. So we can all just deal with it. And it says, you know, it's one of those Pauline injunctions. I don't know if you know this. I'm a huge fan of Paul. No, sorry. I'm a scholar of Paul. The jury's still out on him. Anyways, chapter 5 of Galatians, there's this part where he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you are going, be careful if you are going to devour each other. Do not destroy one another. It's the whole idea of this is me authentically. This is where I'm so vulnerable that I'm being served, so to speak. To love your neighbor as yourself, it's one of those, I don't know if it's your experience, Alexis or Spiff, but anytime I say like, you have to love yourself, it's not, you have to give yourself permission to do all the garbage you want to do. It doesn't mean you have to be so gracious that you never change or improve or rectify or make amends. But I mean, I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. So like I'm super fun at parties.
You are fun at parties.
I think that, oh, thanks. I think that act of love is so, it's letting go of self in order to inhabit the other, but there's that trust that the other will then inhabit you as well. I think I lost my point.
No, it's good. I think, well, so we've talked, I'm an Enneagram 3. And there's that old adage where it's like, you can tell it's a 3 at a funeral because there's like 1,000 different stories that all are authentic, but are all totally different. And so like, I'm always interested, like what would someone paint of me that feels authentic and true as a whole, rather than like a part of me that they have seen? And I took that vulnerable leap. I'll name this Sunday. I wrote, we were in Psalm 111, and Alexis knows this because she read my sermon. I said that prayer is God's love letter to God's self. And so I said, what does it look like if we write a love letter to ourselves, or a letter of appreciation to yourself? So I did it. I wrote a letter to me. And I cried in worship of how moved I was by the words I needed myself to hear. And like, I just said, I'm proud of you like 3 times and just like sobbed in front of people. And it was cathartic and it was true and it was healing and it was vulnerable in that space. So often I think for me, I try and put up these brave spaces, right? Or like these strong things and what I hope my faith comes through. If we were painting my faith, I hope it's soft and vulnerable, and that is its strength. And I think that Brandy does that well. I think, in her, I'm going to ride dirt bikes in the back, you know, she lives on this compound with her people and she's chopping logs and, you know, she's doing that like woodsy thing. And yet then she sits down and sings The Mother and sings about how, you know, Evangeline has changed who she is completely. And I don't know, that for me, when we paint the picture of who we truly are, but really through the lens of how we are seen by others, I just hope for authenticity. I think that was, yeah, I hope, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Had this thought recently, probably because my dear grandfather passed earlier this year, and how like much energy it took like around our family of editing and editing together his obituary. And I thought after all of that, I was like, I'm going to write my own obituary and like save a file, give it to John. Like, I'm going to make sure my obituary's done. But then, you know, hearing Stephanie say that makes me think of like, maybe part of an obituary is not like so much me as a 3 trying to control what I want said and try to like what I think I'm doing as a 3 of saving people stress and time that it's already written, but maybe it is more important that they do the act of writing and editing together to tell the story of my life, and not me like being like, I did it. Here you go. Don't worry. Look at my file under the computer under obituary, mine. Read the print the few sentences, that's how I want to be known. But yeah, what if it's more important that the story, you know, like kind of the picture, the lines on my face, as she says in the story, the opening line, yeah. You know, about what if I let other people tell how they experienced me. And that's also part of their own grief process, right?
Are the stories of our lives truly for us, or is the story at the end for someone else?
Well, so that then comes back to how God is disclosed, or God discloses God's self through scripture. And our high school youth, we talk about how, yes, scripture is inspired and we are inspired. And the only way that we can read the scripture is if we are inspired the same way the Holy Spirit inspires scripture. Therefore, the Bible is not the fourth person of the Trinity. Sorry, needed to put all of that out there so you don't think I'm like, well, that reminds me of Jesus. But what phenomenal trust there is that the church has to represent our best understanding of the divine in the moment, in the way of like, would Jesus of Nazareth have given away rights to his name for other people to represent him the way that it has happened?
She'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah, she probably would. I know. We can use any pronouns we want. It's good. No, I that's not sarcasm. Hey, I want to make sure that we stay within our bounds and respect the time.
You are our timekeeper,
Alexis. And we're going to move into our final question.
I could talk this all day with the two of you. Some of my very favorite people asking fun and true questions is why we started this thing. So thank you for Alexis being here and part of the 2-on-1 family and coming in and doing this work with us. This has been really fun. I'm grateful to both of you and to Brandi Carlile, if you are obviously listening. We are.
Call us, Brandi, if you are. We'd love to have
please
you
on the
show to talk about
that. I will build a bigger table with my High Woman t-shirt.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to think more about the portrait painting. I'm going to sit with that because I do think, like, as a three, I try to paint the portrait. And so thank you both for inviting me here.
It is so our pleasure. It is a gift and a grace. Thank you very much.
But Alexis, as you know, our final question is always the same and is the final question for all of our shows. And what biblical theme, story, character, book are you most reminded of in Brandi Carlile artist, Brandi Carlile person, music, in all that is Brandi Carlile?
Oh, yeah, this was a hard one for me. When I listen to 2-on-1 and I hear people do this, I'm always like blown away, like, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful and deep. One of my favorite ones was The Best Man Holiday, your guest there. I was like, this is one of my favorite conversations. This is brilliant. And then today I was like, kept thinking about like, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I don't know. Brandi embodies so much. And so I really set with that. And this is what I'm coming up with, parable from Luke 14. And he just says, it's about the parable of the great dinner, it's often called. And, you know, it's blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if someone's growing a great dinner party, invited, and, you know, come for everything is now. And some people are bringing excuses, blah, blah, blah. But the person who goes out into the roads and lanes and compels people to come in so that the house may be filled, for I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. But it's this idea of like, what does it mean to offer this gift of radical hospitality, to go out and invite for the dinner? Mm-hmm. And also, and I don't know why I have these dinner metaphors or table metaphors with Brandi, but also the person of honor doesn't sit at the head of the table. And the other, it's like invites people because there might be someone of honor. And that's what Brandi does with her life and music and her collaboration with other people, especially like Tanya Tucker, in the sense of like, she knows that she could sit at the head of the table in the guest of honor, but she has this sense of humility and gratitude that she's always inviting people who may not think they belong at the feast. And she's sitting them at the head of the table in ways that they are like the light is on them. And yet she's still doing the writing and the artistry and the mastermind behind this work. And yet she like is still deferring to like be the one who's sending the invitations and then like, come on in. And sometimes asking people like, can I show up? I want to meet this person. I want to record. I want to collaborate. And so what it means to be a gift who invites people who don't know there's a feast to be had, and to say like, this party is going to be better because they're here, and maybe other people don't notice their talents and gifts, but she does.
Reminds me of a Hafiz poem I read a few days ago where it was, "What? How would you treat everyone if you knew that they were special guests invited by God to this party we call life?" And my answer actually plays, I believe, well with yours in this great sandbox. I'm going to go for Deutero-Isaiah, the Isaiah who speaks in exile. The Isaiah who says, God is present, God is working, this is not what you expected, and this is not the end. Particularly, I'm thinking Isaiah 43, because a few times listening to Brandy, I was like, oh, this is, I called you by name, you are mine. And it's, I believe, the first time love is, I believe the phrase, I love you, is so overtly said by God in Isaiah, but don't quote me on that. I'm not an Isaiah scholar yet.
Close. You're close.
Next year.
Next year. Oh, I love both of these so much. And shout out to Quadri, who was our guest for
Yeah. Birthday. Hey, Quadri.
Hey, Quadri. So I've used this answer before, but I realize for a very different reason, I think I've used it before, but it's a different version of this. I'm going with the Miriam, Aaron, Moses trio, because of how often Brandy talks about, these are her brothers. These are not her just her bandmates. They are her brothers. But as we all know, my ordination text is Miriam's song, in which Miriam and all of her women go out with timbrels and dancing. And that is what Brandy is calling everyone to do, to stop with the waters behind. My metaphor for church has always been, we are called to stop with the waters behind us and the wilderness in front of us, to praise and love God with all of our, like, with everything that we have, without question, without reservation, and with the arts, in with music, with dancing, with all of the gifts that we have been given. And so that text is very special to me. And I will just name that Brandy has become very special to me. I listen to her in the way that, like, 2-on-1 helped me understand who the Ava brothers were. And I now listen to the Ava brothers kind of nonstop. Like, Brandy is also someone that is fueling this chapter of my life with inspiration and authenticity. And getting to see her live was just as magical as getting to hear and listen to her and experience who she is. She started off their concert naming that, like, her 3-year-old had peed on her, right? Like, and that's a weird kind of like sidestep, but it was like, but she's real. She's like, I am tired. I am a mother. I am traveling with children. There is a pandemic and we are here. And here we are together, and there is truly no place she would rather be. And I believe that. I believe, like, when we were there, I believed that for her and with her. And so, yeah.
Whew, that's good.
Well, Alexis Carter Thomas, thank you very, very much for joining us on 2-on-1. This is the time when I'd normally put up a promo for our sponsor, Jeff Wunro, just as a, like, it appears. Friends, listeners, viewers, you can check out jeffwunro.com for stoles and liturgical textiles. They're really great. Please check them out. Who's coming up in the coming weeks?
We have Alexis Lilly next week.
Oh, we're like an Alexis month. That's fine.
It is an Alexis, a back-to-back Alexis month. And so that'll be...
Spiff, yeah. I'm a little bit Alexis.
I just watched Schitt's Creek.
I'm a huge yacht. I'm sorry.
It's my favorite line. I'm a cute, huge yacht is my favorite line of A Little Bit Alexis. Anyways, we're going to have A Lot Bit Alexis these next 2 weeks, and I could not be more excited. So like, subscribe, do the things, deuces. We are grateful for all of you. And see you next week.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.